as I stood, I heard a woman murmur prayers for this part of the service. That's very appropriate. You need them. Thank the Lord for the song that was just sung. Fits with the topic that I have wished to speak by the Lord's help. This message is a retread. Deals with things I first heard many years ago. And have spoken about them different times through the years. And as long as I have a ministry in this world, I will expect to speak these same things once in a while.
Yeah.
It's very important. And be grateful for your prayers, as I mentioned. I want to talk by the Lord's help about the two ways. There are only two ways in life. And the song that the folks just sang to us is about the beautiful words. The first verse that I have is from the beautiful words. The title of that song, the beautiful words, is taken from the portions of scripture that we call the Beatitudes. And that's what that word means, the Beatitudes, the beautiful words. The Beatitudes are the centerpiece of Jesus' ministry. They are to the New Testament what the Ten Commandments are to the Old. The action word in the Old Ten Commandments is, thou shalt. The action word in the Beatitudes is, blessed.
Yeah.
And those two simple terms largely define the difference that there is between this new covenant and the old one. I'd far rather be under the new. I'm grateful for the dispensation of salvation the Lord made available to us. Because I mentioned there are only two ways through life. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for your soul and mine made it far easier for us to choose the better way. I'd like to read you then Matthew 7:13. Where the Lord commanded concerning it, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, how time and experience have proven that to be true. How many people have gone through life and miss the greatest and most important thing that there is of all, and come down at the end to close it in sorrow and disappointment. We are here this morning in the hope that we will have guidance by His Spirit in the right way to go and make the right decisions. It seems like a strange way to recruit people to work for the Lord by telling them how difficult it is to do so. The Lord intended by the Sermon on the Mount to inspire people to follow Him in truth and righteousness. And yet, this these words that He gave us point out the hardships and the difficulties of it. But there's a reason for that. The Lord will have no soldiers in His army under false pretenses. If we make a purpose to serve the Lord, He is going to show us that there are going to be hardships and difficulties. We need to expect that along the way. Actually, the one who does it the other way around is the devil. He comes to whisper in your ear, if you'll take my way, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. He tells us that God knows that if you start to follow these sort of things, you'll have broadened understanding and so forth. And you can look at these things that I have to offer you, and they look good and pleasant to the eyes. But the old songwriter said about it, tell me not then of the pleasures that sting, coiled under roses of pride. The Lord does it just the opposite. He sets before us the reality of what it really is. Yeah. We start out to serve the Lord. We run into hardships and difficulties. We have no ground to complain. We knew that was the cost when we started down this road. But folks, it's far better to go this way.
Amen.
So why do people do it? Why do people start out to go to heaven? Well, many people look at this scripture and think it's because of the goal that's at the end. On the one hand, he spoke about those who go to the place of destruction. And those who don't want to find that eternal destiny would do well to seek for a better way. But that isn't where the Lord put the emphasis in this verse. He put the emphasis on taking the straight gate and the narrow way He didn't say, of the one, he said, it leads to. But of this, he said, take it because it is straight and difficult. Choose it because it is what we need to do. Because there are things about us that are damaging to us.
Yes.
And we're only able to mend and improve ourselves if the Lord have mercy on us and help us to see where we are. We ought to choose the close and narrow way because it is difficult. We ought to walk in the straight way because the things from which it rids us are damaging to our souls. I know you've read this verse before. I'd like to point out in it, though, that there are four contrasted points in this scripture. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, etc. The first of them is a gate. Two gates. There are only two ways through life. One of them is a broad gate. Anything can go in. That one very expression, that it is a broad gate, is enough to condemn that way. No one can possibly live life well and come out successful at the end who can just do anything and take anything in. I was looking last night at some information about marijuana. Our state is making marijuana legal, and there are people who use it a lot. The effects of marijuana on the body, it makes you feel lethargic. It makes you feel kind of like a Buddhist monk. Sat back and relaxed and don't care very much about anything. It's just a pleasant daze, a euphoria. Makes colors more vivid to some people and makes your appetite increased, etc. And that's why people do it, because they get something out of it that makes them feel good. But there's an end.
Yeah.
Marijuana has also been shown to lower people's intelligence quotient by as much as 8 points. It makes it hard to remember things. It makes it hard for someone who's used marijuana very much in the early part of their life to learn the skills that are necessary in this world, to learn to be a mechanic, to learn to work in an office. Your mind's not as sharp. You don't remember things as quickly. It's hard to understand the things that you do try to remember, etc. The devil doesn't tell you that. Those who go down the broad way, just live any way you want to, bring upon themselves great trouble. I've read about Olympic champions who are swimmers. One of them gave in an interview this information. I didn't try to confirm it from other sources. He said, when we're ready for the final meet, as a sort of last preparation, we shave every hair from our bodies. And he said it makes a difference in the way you feel going through the water. Psychological, it's in your mind. That doesn't really slow you down very much, but he said it's like you've made every preparation. The point is, this morning, you can't be an Olympic swimmer if you don't live a straight and narrow life. I remember some boys who were training to be athletes, and one of the things they stopped doing was drinking soda pop. And I asked him why. And my grandson, and he said, our coach has told us that it thins your bloodstream, and you're not as strong if you do it on a regular basis. Most people don't give that a moment's thought. Going to the restaurant to get a meal, just order whatever you want to. But if you're going to be the most talented athlete you can be, you can't live just any kind of way.
Yeah.
You have to have some limits on what you do. There's nowhere more true than in the things of God.
Yeah.
And so the Lord said it's a straight gate, which means a narrow gate. And it's got two posts on either side of the gate. One of them is consciousness of our need. Nobody can get in the way to salvation as long as you're fully self-confident. You don't need anything. You don't need anybody. The Lord doesn't have much to give you. It's when you realize, or I do, that I really can't do everything by myself. Now, I don't know how it was with you when I got saved. I grew up in Iowa. When it was time, the age of accountability, I got bitter. I didn't want to live right. And some other things were going on in my life that I didn't want to go on, have go on, and affect my face. I don't know how to describe it, but you can tell the difference. I got so I couldn't stand it anymore. I was so miserable, trying to take up my own way. I couldn't stand it. I didn't like the saints. I didn't want to go to meeting with them, but I got so miserable. As during a Guthrie Assembly meeting, I went to the pastor's home in between services and told him, I can't do this anymore. I got to get saved. He said to me, you want to pray now? I said, no, I'll go to the next worship service, and I'm going to go to the altar then. My idea was, I don't want to be at the altar in front of these people. I don't like their songs. I don't like what they're doing. But I'd rather go do that than to go on living like I am. I had no idea what was going to happen to me when I got there and how it all changed. But there's a post there on one side. You've got to realize your need. And on the other side, there is another gate post, and it is repentance. You got to be willing to acknowledge what you've done wrong and come and ask the Lord to have mercy on you and forgive you. And those posts are set so close together that you can't get any bitterness or any pride or any envy or any jealousy or any greed or any lustfulness in between them. It'll just strip you right down till there's nothing left but just your soul. There's room enough between the gateposts to get your soul through. Straight is the gate. But when you stop to think about it, aren't you better off without being envious or jealous or greedy or hating other people? It's a narrow way. It's too narrow for so many. Naaman came to be healed of his leprosy. He wanted to come as a military commander in a great kingdom and get healed of his leprosy. But the way to get healed of your leprosy is to be just another leper in the long line of them. And that's the way he finally got stripped down to what it was. Go bathe in the Jordan River. There's clear water in our canoe. Go bathe in that muddy pool down there. It came all this way. The man of God didn't even come out to see me. I thought he'd strike his hand on the place and say some abracadabra and mumbo jumbo and that sort of thing and wave his hands around over the air, maybe bow down and tell me what a great man I am. He didn't even come out to see me. He just sent his servant, because you're not here as a king. You're not here as an army commander. You're here as a leper. And they've got a way of healing lepers, but it doesn't leave any room in there for you to carry your pride along with. It's a narrow way. If you want to live a holy life, folks, and I hope you do, and go to heaven, you're going to take a narrow way to get there. There is a broad way. There is a way that people find to try to take care of themselves and meet their own needs and so forth. Most of the world, sad to say, Savior came, shed his blood, did all that could be done, and yet most of the world is still going down the broad way, because there's room enough to take everything you want to along with you in it. It's a narrow gate to go to heaven. It's a broad way that leads to destruction. It's a wide path, and many go down it. But there's a secret. The broad way is harder than it looks. People who walk in it very long believe the devil's lies. They're going to find out someday they got tricked. They got tricked. It didn't turn out to be what they thought it would. It's happening all around us in the world today. And there is a secret to going the narrow way. It's close. It demands a lot of you. But Proverbs 3 said concerning it, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Yes. You will find if you will take the narrow way. The devil lies about that too. He'll tell you what all you have to give up and how hard it's going to be, how your friends won't understand, how you won't fit with the world. But I'll tell you a secret, folks. It's pleasant. I don't know how to describe it. Nobody else has ever known how to describe it either. What it feels like to have the Lord come down in your soul. It's easy to get. Yeah. You get saved and you're used to living saved. Decide I want another blessing. Just take a little while and offer a prayer. Brother Mike Hightower told me about one time, testified in meeting, in fact, this way. He was saved, riding around on his tractor, plowing or something. He said he was praying while he was driving. The Lord came down and blessed him. He said, I was shouting, glory, hallelujah, while I'm driving on the tractor, and the tears running down his cheeks. So this is more pleasant than it looks like. But it's a hidden pleasantness. You can't even find words to tell anybody what it is. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. But that's one of the secrets of it, is a hidden way. You can live around people who have it all your life and think they're a little bit odd and not really enter into what they are. It's a hidden way. This really only happens for people who get tired of sin and they're willing to come and do whatever it takes to seek the Lord. It's hidden. It's so sad that it's hidden. I wish it wasn't hidden, but there isn't any other way it can be but hidden. It's hidden to the world. He's revealed these things to babes and concealed them from the wise and prudent, the scripture said. And you'll find it that way if you serve the Lord. The most important part about any road is where it leads us. I've taken roads in Arkansas and in West Virginia that I thought were slow and tedious, winding around the mountains, switchbacks and close corners. When they put an interstate highway that went a little closer to where we needed to go in West Virginia, we always take it because it's so much easier. But if you're trying to go somewhere, you lose sight of how difficult the road is. The reason you're going that is because you got a goal or a destination in mind. Folks, life can be longer than you think it's going to be. And it can have more things in it than you thought it would. It's got curves and it's got twists. And things you thought would never happen to you. But they do happen. And this world is not always easy. But there's an end. What we're experiencing today is not everything. There's something beyond. And they make it important to take the right road. So here's where I start repeating myself. Many years ago, when I was young, Roberta and I lived in Nicoma Park in Oklahoma City. Our pastor was Brother Archie Souter, and he got up one Sunday morning, and he read this tract. And it struck me so much, I got a copy of it, and I've kept it in my Bible ever since, and used it from time to time. And I want to read it to you this morning. It's a gentle tract, but it captures what we're trying to talk about of the two ways. It says, two travelers met on the highway of life, and the way seemed so bright and fair. For one was a lad 12 summers or more, the other a girl with golden hair. They both seemed happy with childhood play as they chatted and traveled along. They had no sorrows and they knew no care. Life to them was a glad, sweet song. Well, too many of our children today in the world don't find it that way. I wish they did. This is the way childhood should be. I remember when I was a child, I didn't worry very much about Sputnik, the first satellite that was put up by the Russians. I didn't worry very much about the neighbors down the road, whether they were getting along with each other or whether they were fussing. I didn't worry about it. I wasn't concerned with those things. My biggest concern, I remember, I had a tricycle, and it had a broken rake. The handle was broken out of the rake. And I tied it with a rope to the bottom step of my tricycle. We had a dirt driveway that was pretty big. And I've been watching those farmers in the field. And I drug that rake all the way back and forth across that whole driveway and made even marks with the tree. That's all I was worried about. And the greatest trouble that I had was my sister came out there and saw that. And so she walked across it to mark up, mess up where my rake marks were. And that's pretty much it for a child. I didn't think very much about where my next meal was coming from or what clothes I had to wear to come home from school. And mother would always have a peanut butter sandwich or something. And there were always clean clothes the next morning to wear. That's what it should be for a child.
Yeah.
But it changes. Then knowledge came to their hearts one day and spoke as they trembled with fear. There's a place just ahead where the road divides by two gates, and the cross stands near. On the cross, Jesus died to save you from sin, but each decides for himself, you know. You will come to that place today. We don't stay children. When the Lord was 12 years old, he went to the temple, and it marked a transition for him. He was different after that. It's unavoidable. Each of us come to a place in life where the Spirit comes to talk with us and let us know you're coming to a place where there's two gates. Child who loses their life before that age, we don't have to worry about where their soul went. No one can say for any given child precisely when that moment comes. It's different. Some children mature more than others. As I've developed in life, I've learned that accountability is not an abrupt edge, a cliff. It's not like this. Here you are, easy. Here you are, all of a sudden accountable. It stays the same all the way across. It's more like an arc.
Yeah.
The farther you go, the more accountable you become. And there is a place in later life where people lose their capabilities and they lose some of the accountability for that too. The Lord doesn't hold an old person to the same standard of someone who's in the middle years of life. He knows that you have less ability, and so, but for everyone, there is a point where the Spirit comes to let us know. It's time to make a choice, because after all, that is the reason why we were created.
Amen.
To have a choice, to make a decision. And these young people came to that place. One road looked narrow and oh so steep, and the other one broad and fair. "Which way shall I go?" the maiden cried, and she bowed her head in prayer. Then, quick as a flash, the Spirit came. That's what brings the Lord. He's watching us all the time. He knows all the thoughts and intents of our heart. But when the time comes that He sets before us the two gates, and we start to ponder the taking one, the proper one, all it takes is a glance heavenward, and the Spirit is there like a flash. Oh, I've been waiting for this. This is what we want to see in heaven. You make the right choice, we're going to do everything that heaven can do to help you make it. Then quick as a flash, the Spirit came. "I'll show you the way," said He. "And although the journey be hard and long, I'll promise your guide to be." Well, it is hard and long for most of us. It's hard and long whichever way you choose. But you'll have a guide if you take the narrow way. Someone to tell you how often we need that in our lives. How many dangerous quicksand places there are. How many traps the devil's got set. How many we see caught so hopelessly and struggling in them because they didn't have a guide. How much we need someone who knows the end from the beginning. So he told her, "I'll be that to you." "All right," said the maid, "I'll go with you. I will walk in the narrow way." Then joy and peace came into her heart. She had chosen the Christ that day. That's what makes it. Then she spoke to the lad who waited near, undecided which way he would go. "Oh, come with us in the narrow way, and you too, my Savior, shall know." "Yes, come along," the Spirit said, as they entered the narrow gate. "Oh, no," said the lad with a toss of his head. "That way is too narrow and straight. I'll go with a crowd and have a good time, for others are traveling this way. Someday I'll come back and go with you." And he didn't take time to pray. Full well did he know he had chosen wrong as he passed through the gate open wide. I think people know it when they turn their backs on the Lord. "I'll go with a crowd and have a good time, or others are traveling this way. Someday I'll come back and go with you." And full well he knew he had chosen wrong as he passed through the gate open wide. "But many are going this way," said he. "I'm sure I'll not need the guide." So he traveled o'er the rough highway, and the time passed swiftly along. The days grew to months and months to years, till the morning of life was gone. That's so easy to do. When you're 16, it seems like life stretches like nearly an endless horizon before you. But when you get to be 40, it shocks you how fast it slipped through your fingers and what changes have come during that time. That's what the author is trying to tell us with this story. "I'm sure I will not need the guide because many are going this way." Oh, folks, I look at the things being taught in our world today of right and wrong. Our United States Supreme Court needs guides. Our U.S. Congress is suffering because they don't have guides to teach them the difference between right and wrong. Practically all our institutions of higher education are filled with people who are desperately in need of a guide themselves And our world is caught up, as in one sense perhaps it should be, with an eagerness. People make great sacrifices to send their children off to those kind of places so they can get educated and ready to meet the challenges of life. And you need some education of some sort or another to deal with life. But you don't need something that's going to make atheists out of your children.
Amen.
And that's what's happening in so many places in the world. Not long ago, I read about a college professor. Somebody asked him about one of the miracles in the Bible, and he said, people shouldn't teach their children foolishness like that. That's such a common attitude among so many because they miss. They don't have a guide.
Right.
I feel sorry for them. It doesn't make me angry to read that. It makes me sad. They need a guide. They need somebody to touch their soul. But he said, I don't think I'll need a guide because I'm going to go with the crowd. There are so many. How could they all be wrong? One philosopher said, just before the Second World War, when Hitler was rising to power, he said the united voices of the millions cannot lend the slightest basis to falsehood. If it's a lie, it doesn't make any difference how many people believe it. Though they number in the millions,
right,
it's still a lie.
Yeah.
And it'll still do damage to your soul, but this young man foolishly said, well, so many going this way, I think I'll be safe. He paused for a while at the noontide hour. Was he tired of life's weary stride? I'm glad that's in this little poem. We get some there sometimes. Some people who've reached the middle years in life, they do get tired of the steady course of sin, the heartbreak, the disappointment, the frustrated dreams. Sarah Teasdale wrote about it. She looked forward, she said, that it came to the top of the hill and what a tremendous vista she would have. That's what folks think middle ages of life would be, how far she'd be able to see. But she said, when I got there, the brambles tore at my gown. And more concerned with being stuck with the thorns, and I couldn't see what I thought I was going to see. Some people do get tired of it there. And the Spirit is faithful to come by and pay you another visit. You tried it now? Didn't you find out that the narrow way really would have been better than what you're doing? Why don't you stop now and consider your soul and think about turning? I'm still a place for you. You still got some time left. He paused for a while at the noontide hour. Was he tired of life's weary stride? Then he heard a sweet voice. How are you, friend? And the Spirit stood there by his side. I've come to ask you to turn back, if you will. You're weary with sin and its blight. I can't leave my friends just yet, said he. There is time enough ere night. But stay, O Spirit. I would like to know the girl of my childhood day. I left her that day by the open gates when we came to the parted way. Ah, yes, said the Spirit. She's gone many miles, and bright stars for her crown has won. She is now drawing near to the heavenly gate, for the race is nearly run. We see him again in the eventide with his life's journey almost done. And we hear him say as he totters along and watches life's slow setting sun, I'm thinking today of the days of youth, of the maid, of the cross, and the gates ajar. I thought I'd go back, but the hour is late. The night's coming, no. It's too far. So I laid him down on his cot to sleep, to rest, and to sleep at the end of life's day. His soul was lost. He woke in hell, for back there he rejected God's way. Oh, dear fellow traveler, there are only two ways.
Yes.
You may choose which you will, my friend. One leads above to a home with God, but the other in sorrow will end.
Yes.
And the author of this concluded it with a prayer, which I shall read to you. Let me travel the highway of life each day with a Spirit to lead me, lest I stray. Every step wilt thou guide, keep me close to thy side, till I come to the end of life's long, long day. And I want to close my little message this morning with a scripture from Jeremiah, 8th chapter and the 20th verse, which to me is the saddest in the Bible. It says simply, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We've had our chances, and we've made our decisions. It's too late to turn it back, and we chose the wrong one. What could be worse? What could be sadder? That is the one thing I don't want to have to say about my children. That is the one thing I don't want folks to have to say about me. The harvest is past. The opportunity is gone now. The good days and the bad days, the in-between, it's over. All the time the Lord came to deal with you, He has a lot of number to deal with each one of us. A span of days, a plan for our days. There will come a time when that closes. There came a time with old brother Enoch. He walked with God. And there came a time when the Lord said to him, in my language, the distance between us is too great. I don't want it to be this distant anymore. I didn't even want you to die. Just come up here and be with me. He was not, the scripture said. And that's the way we look at it. That's no doubt how his wife looked at it and his children. Where's Enoch? Wouldn't it be something to get up one morning and just gone? He was lying here in the bed beside me 20 minutes ago. It's still warm and he's just gone. Nobody to bury. Nobody to explain what happened. He's just gone. That's what happened to his family. That's what happened to his friends and those who knew him. He's just gone. But on the other side, he was gone because God took him. He wanted him over there. The communion got so sweet, the Lord said, I want the sweetness without the flesh. And there he went. That's it. He had his times of being dealt with by the Spirit here, and now he's still being rejoicing in the Spirit over there. And that's been a long time ago. And he's not tired of it yet. I don't think he's wishing he was back down here facing the things you and I are. He made it. What about those on the other side? You get so many times the Lord deals with you. Life shows it to us. Our bodies change. If you get old, you'll see that arc declining. It's not as easy to get saved when you're 80 years old. I've had some occasion trying to pray with people like that who had dark things in their lives.
Yes.
When they did it, were vivid, and they knew it was wrong, but they got too old. They couldn't replace those feelings. They couldn't grasp how wrong it really was. And try to repent and make a few little strides toward it. Know the end is coming. Too much asleep. Can't get through the final barriers. I knew a man who, he had a terrible cancer, a deadly cancer. He was just like this. He knew about the things of God. He'd been taught he ought to live for the Lord. He put it off and put it off and put it off. Till we got down there where we tried to get one of those prayers. You know, if you can hear what I'm saying, if you're repenting, blink your eyes. That kind of thing. That's risky, risky territory. His pain level was very high, and they had a bottle sitting there beside him and of course the IVs in his arm, and they had another little container with it that had the morphine in it. And the doctor told the people caring for him, his own family, every time he starts to awaken, trigger some more of that morphine. Because he's going to be in pain if he comes awake at all. And it started to trigger the morphine. He'd come out of his coma and try to thresh and move a little bit. Maybe it was just me. I thought he was trying to pray. But maybe it was just me. It's hard to know, a man in that condition. And he'd start moving his lips and they'd reach over with the morphine and he'd try to push them away. But they didn't know. And they trigger the morphine and he go right back under again. It's dangerous to wait until these final dealings that you might or might not get from the Lord to be able to get through. Or would his testimony be? And only God in eternity knows today. The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And I am not saved. That has come for so many in this world. Can't help it. Lord, help us this morning. Here are a little group of people, just a tiny little number for even this little city of Shawnee. And we are here trying to do what we can to serve the Lord.
Yes.
But I have to wonder, even of our little few who are here, who will there be whose sad testimony is? Summer's over. I knew it, but I waited too long. Now, I have no hope forever. Summer has ended. Summer has passed. I'm sorry, the harvest has passed, the summer has ended. To say with sorrow, we're not saved. We're not saved. You have to get saved for yourself, folks.
Yes.
Nobody else can possibly do it for you.
Yes,
maybe that's enough. Let's stand and sing a song, please, if you're here this morning.
386.
Number 386, if you're here this morning. And you've been going down the wrong way. Folks, the Lord wants to offer you something better and rescue you from that. This altar's always open for those who want to come and pray here.